This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an for us a dua that is made by Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And Allah says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالًا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَن سَبِيلِكَ رَبَّنَا اطْمِسْ عَلَى أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْدُدْ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُا الْعَذَابَ الْأَلِيمَ. Allah mentions this dua that Musa makes against Fir'aun, that he says, oh Allah, Fir'aun and his elites that surround him have caused the people to go astray. Oh Allah, you've given them wealth and strength in this world, and they have caused people to go astray. Oh Allah, destroy their wealth and make their hearts hard, and do not allow them to believe until they see the great punishment. This dua is made in the Quran, and Allah mentions Musa making the dua in the singular, وَقَالَ مُوسَى, and Musa said. But the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِبْتُ دَعْوَتَكُمَا. He says, I have accepted both of your dua. Now the dua was made only by Musa. Musa was the only one speaking. Because Allah says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى, Musa said. But in the next verse, Allah says, I have accepted both of your dua. So who's the second person? The scholars, they say, Musa made the dua, but his brother Harun was with him. And his brother said, Ameen. And because the scholars say this verse is an evidence to show us that when you say Ameen to a dua, it is as if you are the one making the dua. And so Allah says to both Musa and Harun, I have accepted both of your dua, to tell us that the one who says Ameen is exactly like the one who has made the dua. Now why is this important? Because there's another hadith. And in this hadith, our Prophet ﷺ and the angel Jibreel are together. And Jibreel is making the dua, and the Prophet Muhammad is saying, Ameen. And so therefore, both of them are making dua. The best of all the angels is Jibreel alayhi salam. And the best of all humanity is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And both of them are together. And both of them are making dua. So what kind of dua is this? The dua is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, Atani Jibreel, faqala ya Muhammad. He said, oh Jibreel, the Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, oh Muhammad, I'm going to make dua, so say Ameen. And then Jibreel said, Raghima anfum ri'in, dhukirta indahu falam yusalli alayk, faqultu Ameen. He said, Jibreel said, may their nose be dusted, i.e. may this person be humiliated. Who is this person? May they be humiliated. Who are they? The one who hears that you have been mentioned, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been mentioned, and they do not say Ameen. Sorry, and they do not give salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen. So Jibreel alaihi wasallam is making dua against someone who hears the mention of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and does not say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not send salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel is saying, may Allah humiliate this person. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says ameen. And then he makes another dua. And he says, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ أُدْرِكَ أَبَوَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْكِبْرِ أَوْ أَحَدُهُمَا وَلَا يُدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَا يُدْخِلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَالَ آمِينَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he makes another dua. He says, may the person be humiliated. Who are they? The one who finds both his parents in their old age, or even just one of them, and does not enter Jannah. And the Prophet says, Ameen. And then they come to the third dua. And Jibreel alayhi salam says, رَغِمَ أَنْفُ مْرِئٍ أُدْرِكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. May he be humiliated, the one who arrives at Ramadan, who lives to see the month of Ramadan, فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ, but is not forgiven. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ameen. And so the two of them have made these dua. Now what is the similarity in this dua? Jibreel alayhi salam is basically telling us that these are incredibly easy access to the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You hear the mention of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how easy is it for you to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Incredibly easy. Yet the reward is incredibly magnificent. So Jibreel is saying, may the person be humiliated who has this easy way to attain the forgiveness and the mercy and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal and ignores it. And then he talks about the parents. And he says, the person who has parents in their old age and they don't enter Jannah. Which is basically him saying that it is so easy to enter Jannah when your parents are at an old age, because you can just serve them and help them whichever way that you can, and that will enter you into Jannah. And then he comes to the third one, and he says, the one who sees Ramadan, who lives to see Ramadan, and does not get the forgiveness of Allah. Which is basically him saying, it is so easy to attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. You would not look down at someone for not being a millionaire, for instance, because it's very difficult and rare for someone to amass so much money to become a millionaire. So if somebody is not a millionaire, you don't look down on them because it's very difficult to do that. But if somebody had very easy access, for instance, they had the money was there, was available to them. They had the ability to feed themselves really easily. It was just right there in front of them. They could have just taken it. And instead, they decide to die of starvation. You say, what's wrong with this person? This is illogical. You have every means to take care of yourself and you're not doing it. Right? You might look down at a person like that. And that's kind of what this dua of Jibreel that the Prophet ﷺ says Ameen to is all about. It is so easy for you to take care of your needs to attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you arrive at the month of Ramadan. But many people feel anxiety when they come to the month of Ramadan. They feel a sense of, you know, apprehension almost when this month comes. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, إِنِ لِلَّهِ فِي أَيَّامِ الدَّهْرِ نَفَحَاتِ فَتَعَارَضُوا لَهَا. He says that in the days of the year, or the days of time, there are seasons that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so expose yourself to them. Go and take advantage of this season. He says, فَلَعَلَّ أَحَدَكُمْ تُصِيبُهُ نَفْحَةٌ فَلَا يُشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. He said, it's possible that you may attain some of the breeze of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do not ever become wretched ever again. And so just as there are seasons in which the fruits grow more abundantly, there are seasons where wealth is accumulated more frequently, so too are there seasons where the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more abundant and more available. And in a few days we're about to welcome one of these certain incredible days, the days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal the Qur'an, days that serve as a divine blessing and gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَى وَالْفُرْقَانِ. That the month of Ramadan is that in which the Qur'an had been revealed, a guidance for the people and a clear proof of guidance and the criterion. And so these are days in it that the tears of the righteous are shed. and the hopes of the believer is raised. It is a month that the Prophet ﷺ would increase in his joy and increase in the joy of those who surrounded him. The Prophet ﷺ at the beginning of this month would gather people together and say, أَتَاكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ تُفَتُّحُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَتُغَلَّقُ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ مَنْ حُرِمَ فَقَدْ حُرِمَ مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرَهَا فَقَدْ حُرِمَ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed the month has come to you. The month has approached. This has come to you, the month of Ramadan. And it is a month that is blessed. And in it the doors of paradise are opened, and the doors of hellfire are closed. And in it is a night that is better than a thousand months. And whoever is deprived of its good has truly been deprived. Because of the power of this month, and the power of the days within it, the righteous people used to pray to Allah, begging Him, asking Him for permission. For what reason? To allow them to witness the month, to allow them to see this month, to allow them to live in the days and in the nights of that month. The Salaf used to make some of the dua of theirs was, Allahumma sallimni ila Ramadan, wa sallim li Ramadan, wa tasallamahu minni mutaqabbila. That they would say, oh Allah, sallimni ila Ramadan, make me healthy, protect me until I reach Ramadan. Allow me to live and allow me to be healthy so that I can live to see Ramadan. And then he says, and وَسَلِّمْ لِي رَمَضَانِ, and make Ramadan submissive to me, i.e. allow me to take advantage of it. Allow me to take advantage of this month. Allow me to do what I need to do in this month. And then take Ramadan from me as something that you have accepted. Take it as I have surrendered it to you. Take it from me as something that you, O Allah, have accepted from me. And this is their love and their longing for the month of Ramadan. And the righteous people prayed for this month to come to them. But sometimes we feel anxiety, apprehension. How am I going to fast? How am I going to be able to do this? What am I going to do as I face the difficulty of the month of Ramadan? My schedule is turned upside down. I have to take care of my kids. I have this problem and I have to fast on top of all of this. And we feel something of anxiety coming to it. And really the question is a question of value. The scholars mention a very interesting metaphor that if you brought gold and put it to the cow, you have a number of cattle, and you bring them bags of gold, they would turn away from it. They wouldn't want it. But if you brought them bags of hay, they would rush to eat it. Why? They value the hay, and they do not value the gold. And so sometimes when we feel this apprehension towards Ramadan, it might be an indication we haven't properly valued the month. We haven't understood its true impact and its true value. And if we did, we would be like the people who are praying to Allah, oh Allah, please, please, please allow me to live, to witness this month and to take advantage of it as much as possible. And so we need to see Ramadan as the forgiveness of Allah. See Ramadan as the mercy of Allah. See Ramadan as the opportunity for closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a question ultimately of value. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw the month of Ramadan, the moon of Ramadan, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma ahilhu alayna bil amni wal iman wal salamata wal islam wal tawfiq lima tuhibbuhu wa tarda Rabbi wa Rabbuk Allah. He would say, oh Allah, make this a precursor, this moon of Ramadan, make it a precursor upon us of faith and security and peace in Islam. And oh Allah, grant us the ability to pursue what you love and what you, oh Allah, are pleased with. And months before, the Prophet ﷺ would pray, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That oh Allah, give us blessings in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban and allow us to live, bring us, deliver us to the month of Ramadan. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked the month of Ramadan to the month of fasting. يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says, I have prescribed fasting upon you. I've made it an obligation upon you in this month. For what reason? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. The objective is given to us. The objective is for us to have taqwa. And what is taqwa? Ali ibn Abi Talib says his beautiful statement, التقوى هو الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل واستعداد يوم الرحيل. He says taqwa is fear of the majestic, i.e. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and acting according to His revelation, and being content with what is little, and preparing yourself for the day of departure. Taqwa, its core, its essence, is that you are preparing to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a fear of the majestic because you know you're going to stand in front of him. You're preparing yourself constantly for the day and the moment that you will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak to him. And so, knowing Allah azza wa jal and knowing that you will stand before him is the point of fasting. And fasting is meant to transform you into someone who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always preparing to meet with him. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make dua constantly saying, as'aluka shawqu ila liqa'ik. Oh Allah, I ask you for the longing to meet you. I.e., I want to love meeting you. I want to be longing, desiring, hoping, wishing for the moment that I stand in front of you and I meet you. The believer longs and hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the depth of their heart. Why? Because they worshipped Allah with their hearts. And fasting is something that really connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ فَرْحَةً عِنْدَ فِطْرِهِ وَفَرْحَةً عِنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّهِ. For the one who fasts, he has two types of joy. The joy when he breaks his fast, and the joy when he meets Allah. And so you can see the connection, the joy of meeting Allah, and the fact that fasting gives you taqwa. And this month of Ramadan is a month to help you develop the understanding of taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who truly fasts for the sake of Allah, they're happy when they break their fast. They feel the accomplishment of having broken their fast, having done something for the sake of Allah, and they feel even more joy when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they see the reward that Allah has prepared for them on the day that they meet Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith Qudsi that Allah said, "Kullu 'amal ibn Adam lahu illa sawm, fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bi." That Allah says that all of the deeds of the children of Adam belong to them, except for fasting. It belongs to me, and I will reward it. And the scholars talk about this. They say that Allah has apportioned a certain number of reward for every deed. If you pray, you get this much. If you give charity, you get this much. Except fasting. Fasting, Allah did not tell you what reward you get for it. He says the reward is with Him. And you will get that reward when? When you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. He says it belongs to me and I will be the one to give it. Why does fasting belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because fasting is a secret between you and Allah. It is a secret between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can see you fast. Nobody could ever know if you fasted. You can claim you fasted while you have eaten without people seeing. And you can say that you're not fasting while you have actually fasted. Or people assume that you haven't fasted while you've actually fasted. Fasting is something that no human being can witness, only Allah Azza wa Jalla can witness. And so it is intimate and secret between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what allows you to develop taqwa with Allah Azza wa Jalla. You are conscious of Allah, you are aware of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're aware of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is a secret between you and between Him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهُ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهُ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَ. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. And whoever hates to meet Allah, Allah despises to meet them as well. And fasting, reminding you that you're going to meet Allah. It's an exercise of taqwa. The reward is with Allah. You will have happiness on the day that you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The happiness of when you meet Allah and you see Him having fasted. All of this is reminding you of what you're going to meet Allah. And those who love to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet them. May Allah make us of those who love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this month is a month of increasing this taqwa of Allah, building this connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this month is a reminder for us to break our constant dependence on the material world. That even if it's just for a short while, even if it's just for a few hours of not eating, it reminds us that we are too connected sometimes to the material world, and that we can use a break from it sometimes. That we can use a break and instead of focusing on our physical needs, to start focusing a little bit on our spiritual needs. Just like the body requires food to survive, your soul, your ruh, requires sustenance to survive. And that sustenance is prayer. That sustenance is charity. That sustenance is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. And so just like we understand the physical body needs food, by cutting off that food for a little bit, you remind yourself, my ruh needs something as well. My ruh needs food as well and sustenance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's part of the meanings that are layered onto us from the meanings of Ramadan. فَأَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا عَلَيْهُ لَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد, of the blessings and the lessons that we gain from this month of Ramadan and fasting is a lesson that perhaps inshallah we've gained as well from this pandemic of the COVID-19 virus. Which is that we often think as human beings that we control everything, that we have power, that we have might, that we have strength over everyone. And the reality is, you go a few hours without eating food, and you realize how weak and frail we actually are. And this virus also reminds us of how weak and frail we actually are as human beings. And this should increase your sense of humility. And this sense of humility, when it increases, it reminds you of connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a deeper level. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى. Who is the one who responds to the desperate when they call upon them? And Allah azza wa jal reminds you, the more desperate you are, the more closer you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we remind ourselves of how weak and how little we are, we remind ourselves of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a deeper, more humble level. And as well, fasting, the Prophet ﷺ says, "As-siyamu junna," that fasting is a shield. It is a shield from our over-dependence on the dunya. And that we are constantly focused on our physical reality. It shields us from this by reminding us to focus as well on our spiritual reality, which also exists. And finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going through a very difficult Ramadan that's going to be coming ahead of us because of the changes, that it's not going to be like every other Ramadan, it's going to be different. And I say to you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, embrace the challenge in front of us. We should embrace it. We think, oh, we're not going to pray Taraweeh in the masjid. For sure, Taraweeh in the masjid is beautiful. But do you know that the Prophet ﷺ prayed most of the Taraweeh at home? In fact, he only prayed in the masjid 3 times. And then when he saw the number of people increasing, he said, I'm not going to come back because I don't want people to think this is an obligation. To pray Taraweeh in the masjid is an obligation. So the Prophet would pray at home. And so it is of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ also to pray some of our Taraweeh at least at home, even if the masajid were open. So this is an opportunity for us to pray some of our salawat at home. And of the benefit of this, sometimes when we come to the masjid, our intentions might be split. Are we coming to the masjid for Allah? Or are we coming so that I can see brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and talk with them and have a good time and mingle with them, and that people can see me come to the masjid and say, oh, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, they're so religious, they come to the masjid so much. Or was our intention for Allah azza wa jal? But when you're at home, praying by yourself at home, that is a secret between you and Allah azza wa jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من استطاع منكم أن يكون له خبيئة من عمل الصالح فليفعل. Whomever amongst you is capable of having a treasure trove, a secret storage of good deeds, then let them do so. So the Muslim should have some secret good deeds. And this is an opportunity in this Ramadan with us being, you know, in our homes, to have secret good deeds nobody knows about except us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something that is a secret between us and Allah azza wa jal. And just like fasting is a secret, fasting is a secret, nobody can see you fast. You should have some salawat, some tahajjud, some taraweeh that you do without anyone seeing and anyone knowing, that you can do inshallah in the privacy of your home. And so inshallah there's an opportunity that this Ramadan will actually be the best Ramadan. And that instead of us focusing so much on food and iftar and cooking and having elaborate iftars, we can have simple meals. Like the Prophet ﷺ used to do, and instead focus on ourselves, on our character, on how we are improving ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ said, "من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه." The Prophet ﷺ says, "Whoever does not abandon foul language and acting according to it, then Allah is not in need of them abandoning food and drink." Right? So the point of our fasting is to improve our character. And maybe without us focusing on food and social gatherings, we can focus on our character and to make ourselves better people and to focus on how we can improve ourselves and increase our ability to recite Quran, increase our knowledge, increase our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So while we might think this is a difficult Ramadan, inshallah, I have a lot of optimism that this is going to be the best Ramadan that many of us are going to experience, bi-idhnillah, and one that will allow us to attain the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.